Good afternoon. Good to see everybody here. If you'd like to go ahead and open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1 will be there shortly. If you're using the Red Pew Bible, it's going to be page 2, believe it or not. So, not actually starting on page 1, we're starting on page 2. Well, Brother and I had an opportunity. I actually asked permission, and she's not here today. She's actually in Dayton with her cousins. But I did ask my daughter permission to talk about her and her love of dogs this morning, or this afternoon. I asked her yesterday morning. But she's not here. So, but almost a year ago now, my daughter had the wonderful opportunity, after working for a year straight, completing her chore that we had given her without complaining, without griping, and doing extra work without being told, we bought her a dog. And she does good work. And with this dog, she's lived up to her responsibility. Now, one of the things that I've really enjoyed in watching her, and that's kind of what made me think about this as a lesson, is that even though she's young, she recognizes that a pet is more than just something you love on and hug on. But there's responsibilities associated with it. And even though she's got this great and wonderful gift that she wanted so bad and had worked for to get, now that she has it, she still has responsibilities. There are still expectations. It's not just about the hugging, the loving, but it's also about the brushing, the bathing, the picking up the various things that come with the dog, and feeding the animal. Also making sure it gets plenty of sleep and all that other fun stuff. And she's responsible for discipline for the animal. So, she did really well with this. But it got me thinking, as we think about us, that God has given us certain things, and we have responsibilities that we should recognize. And so let's look at Genesis 1, 24 through 31 together. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after their kind." And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth after their kind and the cattle after their kind and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Then God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made. Behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Now, obviously, that is a focus on the sixth day of creation. And real emphasis there is that I wanted to bring out was God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And when we think about that, male and female, we have to recognize we are created in the image of God. Now, that's not talking, of course, about our physical form. But there are certain attributes, certain things that God has given us specifically that we have. And along with those things, because that's not what the lesson's about, what God has given us is blessings and commands. And he told us to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. So that's the command aspect, right? He also told us that we have, and this is either a benefit or a command, depending on how you look at it, or a blessing or command, rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky, to rule over every living thing that moves on the earth, and then to receive every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you. Now, the events of Genesis 1, they obviously take place before the Law and the Prophets. They take place before the New Testament. So what we're talking about here is things that are in effect even before Adam, or during Adam, I guess you could say. And it's important for us to realize, just as we often talk about a marriage, and marriage came before the law and the prophets, marriage came before those commandments, marriage is from the time of creation. These things that are given to us, that we have authority over, things that we are responsible for, things that we are supposed to keep watch of, we have to realize they're still present. And so when we think about that, today I want to talk about two basic things. Rule, exactly, you know, what we have been given authority over, and the responsibility that's associated with it. And so that'll be our lesson for ourselves. Now, by definition, this idea of rule, it just comes from a word to meaning have dominion, to dominate, or to subjugate, which I hope that everybody understands. That means that we have been given authority. When he says we have been given rule over these things, that's what we've been given. We've been given authority. But what does it mean that mankind has authority over these things? You know, obviously, there's that great and wonderful provision of sustenance, which is a fancy way of saying God gave us food. I hope everybody gets that. So, yeah, we get to eat. But hopefully we realize it's more than just food. Because in Genesis 2:15, this is where God places man in the garden. And this is Adam. But the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. It's more than just the food. Not only are we supposed to have provision for ourselves, but we're supposed to work, to labor, to offer service towards God's creation. In addition, we're supposed to keep it, to guard, to observe, to give heed, or pay attention to it, in other words. And that is what God has given us. And I hope as we look at this, we can see, you know what? There's responsibilities associated with what God has given us. It's a very simple and true point. Now, nowhere in Scripture are you going to find a man or a woman sitting back and just taking what God has given them and in any way, shape, being acceptable for them to neglect it or to not treat it appropriately. And the reason I bring that up is because that's exactly the way people paint authority in this world. They treat like a king or a queen or somebody who's a ruler or a manager or a leader. And they treat them like they have all the power, but no responsibility associated with it. And that's really a child's view of authority, because that's not correct. When we think about kings, when we think about rulers, even Israel, even Judah, they were held accountable for what they did. And you can go like to Ezekiel 5, 7, and 8. It says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have more turmoil than the nations which surround you, and have not walked in my statutes, nor observed my ordinances, nor observed the ordinances of the nations which surround you. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, and I will execute judgments among you in the sight of the nations. All the nations will be a witness to the fact that you have not kept my statutes, you have not kept my ordinances." In other words, they were not keeping the commandments of God. They were not ruling. They were not using the authority God had given them correctly. And we know from the Old Testament, Israel and Judah were held accountable for that. Now, when we come back to the time of Genesis, let's just kind of look and see, were the statutes, were the ordinances kept? And of course, Genesis 3, we have Adam. Adam in the Garden of Eden, the man directly responsible for cultivating and keeping the garden. Obviously, without going through the entire account, we know he did not do what God asked him to do. And because he did not keep the ordinances, because he did not keep the statutes, the commandments, he was removed from the garden. He was removed from God's presence. Now, this next section with Cain, I actually made a little bit longer based off our Bible class this morning. See, because Cain, you may not consider him a ruler. But what we all have to realize, God has given us authority, at the very least, over ourselves. And as we look at God, what God had given Cain here, God had given him authority to function in this world. Cain was a tiller of the ground. We know that from Genesis chapter 4. And he says, you know, after Cain kills Abel and God makes this pronouncement against him, he says, "Now you are accursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you. You will be a vagrant and a wanderer of the earth." Do you remember what happened? Cain offered a sacrifice to God. And God did not want it. And Cain's countenance fell. And so God warns Cain and tells him, sin is crouching at your door. And what does Cain do? He doesn't listen to God. And this is where I think it's so great to really think about some of the things we learn in Bible class. In Ecclesiastes class, our brother Josh brought up the point that seeking wisdom is not bad. It's not inherently evil, as long as we are seeking the wisdom that comes from God. And of course, if you look at Proverbs 2, that's exactly what it talks about. It says, my son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is the shield to those who walk in integrity. He guarding the paths of justice, he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity and every good course. So, every man and woman, again, has that wonderful blessing that we have authority over ourselves. And we get to choose what resides in us. We can choose God. We can choose to open our hearts to the wisdom that God gives us. We can let him reside within us. Or we can choose something else. What did Cain choose? Did he listen to God's warning? Did he try to come up with a better sacrifice? Did he humble himself before his brother and ask to have a lamb? He didn't. Instead, he broke the commandments of the Lord. Cain abused the authority God had given him, and he was held accountable. And I really want us to think about that, because that's an example of an unwise ruler. But when we think about accountability, apply that as you flip your Bibles over to Genesis 6. Genesis chapter 6. Because consider Noah here as we think about the idea of accountability. It says, now it came about when man began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, whomever they choose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were men of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things, the birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So just as our brother Lane brought out this morning, there's a contrast there. There's a contrast between the rest of the world and Noah. And what was Noah? Noah, according to 2 Peter 2, verse 5, he was the preacher, the proclaimer, the herald of righteousness. He was someone in whom God trusted. Why? Because he put God first. His actions were not wicked. He was not like the rest of the world. And instead, what God had with Noah was a man who actually followed his commandments. Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the cattle and over the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Remember, it's not man that gets punished here. Not man alone. But it's everything that man has authority over as well. All these creeping things. Blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and birds of the sky, for for I am sorry that I have made them. Everything that the majority of mankind was responsible for, God blots out. And instead he gets a select number to the one man he trusts, Noah. And remember, this is a terrible thought. The wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. From the very center of their being, their actions, their thoughts, their goals, their desires, they were all set against God. That is not God's commandments residing within us. That is not God's commandments residing within mankind. And obviously, that's why the flood came. Our actions have an effect on other people. Does that make sense? I mean, that's not even really a proverb. That's just common sense. What we do in this world will have an effect on people. You know, years ago, there was a guy by the name of Bernie Madoff. And most people in here probably have heard of him. Bernie Madoff scammed $68.4 billion from people. He ruined thousands of people's lives. Have you ever heard of Enron? Enron was slightly more. They scammed on the books $74 billion. 85 different countries were affected when their scandal broke loose. And 20,600 people lost their retirements, their employment, and had nothing left. Our actions affect others. And the Enron scandal, actually, they just had another court case on that recently. So it's still ongoing. We have to realize that when we think about the authority that has been given to us, it does come with responsibility. It's not something to take lighthearted or neglect, but there is actual responsibility that God has given us. Jesus spoke to Peter and to the apostles, and he said in Luke 12, 42 through 46, the Lord said, who then is faithful and sensible steward? Whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time. Blessed is the slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all of his possessions. But if that slave says in his heart, my master will be a long time in coming, and begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces, and assign him a place with the unbelievers. Now, in this portion of the parable, the master of the house, the Lord, he puts a steward. He puts a manager, a servant, in charge of the Lord's possessions. And we see a choice is being made here. This manager, this steward, this head servant, he has a choice. He can manage well. And if he manages well, it doesn't matter when his master is going to return. It doesn't matter when the Lord returns. He is going to be ready. And when the Lord returns, he will find everything exactly as it's supposed to be. Well done, good and faithful servant. But if he manages poorly, which is the other part of this parable, then when the manager returns, he will find a person who has abused his authority, the authority he was given, not over his own possessions, because keep in mind, he's a manager, but he's still a servant. He's still a slave. He still serves the Lord. And when the Lord returns, he's going to hold him accountable for how he treated his fellow servants. He's going to hold him accountable for how he treated the Lord's possessions. He's going to hold him accountable for abusing both men and women. And he'll be cast out. He won't say, well done, good and faithful servant. And brethren, that's why we have verses like Galatians 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. Don't lie to ourselves. God knows exactly what we are doing. And understand, please don't take this as the idea that all of us are doing wrong. Because if we are being the good and faithful servants, if we are using what God has given us correctly, then we don't have anything to worry about. And so let's take a moment to look at what our responsibilities are. As Christians, 1 Peter 5:5, you younger men likewise be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, for God has opposed the proud but gives grace to the humble. Now, I like this because, of course, we start off with younger men, and it's in a discussion between your elders or even if you went directed towards the eldership. But he then brings it out to all of you. What are we to clothe ourselves in? What are we to put ourselves inside? Humility. We are not supposed to be proud towards one another. We're not supposed to be haughty towards one another. But we're supposed to treat each other with the type of respect that we have that comes from God. And that's our relationship towards one another. If you would, look in your Bibles at Ephesians chapter 5. Flip over there with me. Using the Red Pew Bible, I apologize, I forgot to look up where that's at. Ephesians 5. It's one after Galatians. Oh, page 1346. I did write it down. I apologize. So Ephesians chapter 5. You know, this is one of those things where we often talk about in 2 Corinthians that the chapter breaks are really bad. I would encourage you to watch out for subject headings too. Because at times they break up the train of thought, and that can be bad. That's what I'd like to emphasize here beginning in verse 15, not 16. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, seeking and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks for all the things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands also ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. So this whole section, if you take out the little subject heading, it begins with some very careful truths. Be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Watch what you're doing in this world. Pay attention to one another. Be subject to one another in the fear of the Lord, with respect towards Christ. Understand what has been done for you. Understand what is your Savior. And this is everyone, both men and women. We are to be subject to one another. It doesn't remove roles. But we're to recognize each of us has authority. And we're to treat each other as fellow heirs. Now we get in this other aspect, and we start talking about the husbands and wives and the different roles they have. But just be very careful with that, because sometimes people paint a picture of Christ, and understand this is what they're saying, Christ is dominating the church, that Christ rules over the church with an iron rod. Christ tells the church when to do, where to go, what to do, what to dress, how to act. Show me the scriptures where Christ does that. Because you've taken that totally wrong. Subject to one another. There is rule, there is authority, there is respect. There is one flesh, treating that one body with complete respect. That's the authority that is represented for us. And that's the authority we're supposed to use. You know, you look at 1 Corinthians 7, verse 4. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. The wife may not want your body, but she has authority over it. That's just how it is. We have authority with each other. Again, different roles that God has established that we have to follow, that are His commandments, His statutes, His ordinances. But we have to be careful how we treat each other. There is a lot of respect. And understand, we're to have the same respect as a husband that Christ has towards His church. And likewise, the churches have the same respect towards Christ. That's not something that's light, and it's not something that should be made a joke of. Now, when we move onward, I like this next part when we talk about children, as far as responsibilities. Ephesians 6, 1 and 3. And this is found throughout the Bible in a lot of different locations. But it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you will live long on the earth." That's Ephesians, Colossians, Deuteronomy, Ten Commandments. We find that all over the place. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, this exact reading. Understand children. And all of us have been children at one point or another. If you do not obey your parents, you do not honor them. We have to realize, if we do not obey God, We do not honor our Father in heaven. And that's what's laid out for us. We have been given authority. We have been given the power to do many things in this world that He's placed us in. But we have to keep His commandments. It's not an authority that comes from ourselves, but our authority comes from God. So remember, God created man in His own image, the image of God He created him, male and female He created them. Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. We have to remember again, we have been created in the image of God. There's a lot of blessings that come with that, but that means there's also responsibilities as well. And with the authority comes responsibility. So, if we're going to make application to this, I am not going to tell you to go out and hug your tree, or a dog, as the case may be. But I do want us to think about the idea of cultivating and keeping. And please think about that. My daughter, she has a responsibility towards her dog, and she understands that. And we have to realize that the different things that God has given us responsibility over, and I don't want to start naming them off, because I want us all to think about, in our own lives, what exactly we have authority over, what we have been given responsibility over. And our actions towards our responsibilities, first and foremost, they affect us. And our actions towards our responsibility have repercussions towards those who we're responsible for. And what's set out for us is we really have a choice. We can be like Noah, where we can be considered righteous. We can be a proclaimer and a herald of righteousness. Or we can be like Cain, and we can do our own thing. And we have to choose which one we are going to be. But this week, in the idea of cultivating and keeping, make a list of what you're actually responsible for. I'll give you one. Put yourself down. And ask yourself, as you're looking at this, am I cultivating? In other words, am I working? Am I laboring? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I keeping? Am I guarding? Am I paying attention? Am I giving heed to where I'm at? Because that's what we're responsible for. at the very least, we are responsible for ourselves. And specifically in the context and understanding that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of love. Let's go ahead and say a prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the many different blessings you have given us in this world and in this life. And we ask, Father, that as we reflect upon them, as we think upon them, we realize that they are blessings that come from you. That you are great, that you are glorious, that without you we would have nothing. And that is to you we should turn in all things, for understanding, for knowledge, for discernment. Please guide our hearts, Father, guide our minds. Let us focus on the thoughts and intentions of your heart, and let us dwell in that, Father. Let us focus and really strive to work in this world as you would have us to work. Let us keep faith with you, Father. And let us always know, Father, that you are there for us. You have prepared a place for us. You have prepared a path for us. Let us walk that path. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Our song that we'll be getting into is Only a Step, number 920. Or excuse me, 520, 520. Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, come unto me, I am the way. Hearken the loving call, obey. Come, for he loves you so. That love is always being offered to all of us. If you're not a Christian and you'd like to become one, in a few moments when we stand to sing, please come forward and we will baptize you into Jesus. If you are a Christian and you feel like you have not lived up to your responsibilities, or you feel lost, or you feel dejected, or you just need help, please come forward and we can pray for you. If either one applies to you, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.